Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn, and with me in the studio once again, Albert Eby, Executive Director of the Cape Fear Public Transportation Authority. If you'd like to ask him a question, give us a call, 910-343-1138, or email us at coastline@whqr.org. And CJ from Wilmington, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Thank you, Rachel. Firstly, I'd like to say thank you for putting on such a wonderful show each week. Additionally, thank you to Wave Transit and Mr. Eby for all that they've done for the community.
Thank you for your kind words, CJ. The team appreciates that.
Thank you,
sir. Thank you. I just wanted to share kind of my story with the audience. When I was younger, a teenager, 18 or so, I lost my license and wrecked my car and was not in a very good place. And Wave Transit was... Without them being in my life, I would have never been able to get a job and go to school and keep a job without having a car. And now, 8-9 years later, I have, I've got a college degree, I've got a graduate degree, and I've got a professional job.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And of course, I listen to WHQR every day. but Wave Transit really does do a whole lot of good. Even if there's one diamond in the rough, you're still helping a lot of people. And even now, I take the bus at least once a month. I try to do it every week, but once a month just to keep things down.
Just to make your contribution to participation in Wave Transit, is that the idea, CJ?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And you can call me Rachel. Thank you so much for your call, CJ. And we have Bill from Wilmington. Welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Thank you, Ms. Hilburn, for taking my call, and thank you, Mr. Ely, for being there. My question has to do with better access at stops for the use of buses. I have ridden Wave Transit, have found it actually to be very comfortable, and I have used public transportation extensively when I lived in Boston, Washington, D.C., suburban New Jersey. And I continue to use public transportation for pleasure and business when I travel domestically and internationally. But in my travels, I have found three components for bus access that I think makes it more attractive to potential passengers. And my question has to do specifically with what is Wave Transit doing, either through direct funding or applying for grants, to make stops more attractive. And the three specifics I have are electronic signage, which will say when the next bus is due, enclosed shelters, and cutouts. I believe the British call them lays, which will allow a bus to divert into an area cutout and not disrupt mainline traffic.
Albert Eby.
Those are all great methods that can be employed to not only improve safety but improve public transportation access. As I mentioned earlier, we're working extensively on a new shelter program. Part of the shelter program, we're looking at integrating electronic signage because we do have the infrastructure in place on our buses through the cellular network to provide real-time updates. We have that information in Fordham Station, which is one of our transfer locations. So not only can you tell where the buses are at any time, but an accurate ETA based on real-time information from the bus is available. As far as cutouts, that gets to be a little more challenging. NCDOT controls the majority of the road network here in North Carolina and in the New Hanover County. So we've got to work closely with them to make sure that we're putting bus cutouts in areas that make the most sense, not only for us but for them. We've got integration out of traffic and, more importantly, integration back into traffic. But the real challenge comes from a financial standpoint because bus turnouts can be extremely expensive, mainly because of the cost of right-of-way acquisition.
I was going to say, through eminent domain?
Yes, sir. It's a challenge.
Right.
Thanks so much for your call, Bill. You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about Wave Transit, public transportation in the region. If you have a question or a comment for Albert Eby, Executive Director of Cape Fear Public Transportation Authority, give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also email us at coastline@whqr.org. And we have a question from a listener who says, why is there no bus line from Porter's Neck or Hampstead straight down Market Street to downtown Wilmington? There are plenty of parking lots or lot space in Porter's Neck, and the Market Street corridor is so very overcrowded. This bus line would make a lot of sense. And, of course, that question, Albert Eby, is heightened with the recent approval by City Council of zoning for an Ogden Marketplace. So what would you say to that?
That's a great question. And how we do our planning is our planning has evolved from several different plans. We start with the long-range transportation plan, which has a public transportation aspect, and that's undertaken by the Wilmington Urban Area Metropolitan Planning Organization. Every 5 years, that's a typically 30 to 40-year plan. Every 5 years, we do a short-range plan, and it evolves from some of the more near-term aspects of the long-range plan to look at where we're providing service, how frequently we provide service. We listen really intently to our passengers. We could do this a number of ways. Typically, the two major ways are you could do a convenience model, which is a small service area on a frequent basis, or you could do a coverage model, which is a larger service area on a less frequent basis. We currently employ more of a coverage model, going as far as Brunswick Forest to the south, to Pleasure Island. And our current highest need is to go to the Porter's Neck area. That brings up some points for other types of transit initiatives that we've just started getting into. Park and Ride, which is a great opportunity up there. Like you said, there's opportunities for parking lots up there that we could partner with business owners to put some cars in there and transport folks into buses. We've also entered into the Vanpool market. We've got two vans that go to service a employer in Elizabethtown every day from Wilmington.
Okay,
they fill those vans up.
Going back, sorry to interrupt, sure. But for 1 second, going back to the Porter's Neck question, you're saying that is one of your most requested routes. You're seeing the need for that. Does that mean that that will be added?
It means that it's one of the areas that we know that we need to look intently at, but we've also got to identify the funding. A single bus route can cost as much as $300,000 a year. So that's as much of a challenge as identifying the need.
Okay. And speaking of funding, part of your funding comes from the state. And our producer, Isabel Shepherd, recently spoke with Wilmington City Council member Laura Padgett, who was talking about the impact of McCrory's strategic mobility formula. And let's just listen to what she had to say.
And the new transportation strategic transportation investment program that originated with Governor McCrory, and which on its face certainly was a good idea. Exactly what has happened with it when it went through the legislature into the DOT, that has taken away a great deal of the local MPO, the Transportation Advisory Committee, has taken away that organization's ability to decide which roads and which projects and which modes of transportation to fund. I'm not sure that was intended, but in the end, that's what's happening. So we have less say about what transportation projects we want funded, and then we're getting less money than we used to get at the bottom line.
And Albert Eby, how is this impacting Wave Transit?
First, I'd like to recognize Ms. Padgett as being one of the leaders in public transportation and transportation in the region. She is the reason that we have the type of system we have, because she got the city to come along, and when they were making a minimal investment back in the late 90s and early 2000s in public transportation, and got them to invest more so they could get more of an investment from both the federal and state government. The challenge we face at the state level in public transportation, in addition to what Ms. Padgett was mentioning, is that we're dealing with a defined pot of money. So not only does the money go less far every year, but we're dealing with more systems. As North Carolina continues to go from a more rural state to a more urban state, we're seeing more urban areas pop up, whether they be in areas like Statesville or these smaller areas like Salisbury just outside of Charlotte. So they're taking away funds, or we're having to share a limited amount of funds with those folks who were never in the pool in the first place. So we've got a lot of challenges to this day. We've seen our state operating assistance drop in the last 10 years over 100%, and there's no end in sight. So while we continue to deal with a need for more public transportation, especially on the state side, and to some degree on the federal side, we're seeing less participation by those governments in public transportation programs here in New Hanover County.
And does that mean then that local municipalities have to pick up more of the cost?
That, or you have to decrease service, you have to raise fares. We've done a combination of a lot of things. So there's a lot of ways you can do it. The state has added some opportunities for local governments to impose sales tax for transit, vehicle registration fees. Those are things that we have discussed, that we've discussed with our local elected officials and continue to discuss as the need for public transportation evolves here in the region.
And just from a percentage standpoint, the city of Wilmington throws a lot into the pot relatively for WAVE transit.
Absolutely. The city of Wilmington is our biggest funding partner. We have a contract with UNCW that not only allows us to provide intense service around the university, but allows our passengers to utilize those services that we're providing. New Hanover County provides a great deal of what we do because it's typically not a county type function to support public transportation. So our local partners have been outstanding in supporting us. And really our goal is to make sure that we leverage that money as much as possible to bring in the federal and state transportation dollars.
And before I interrupted you to demand an answer to whether there was going to be a Porter's Neck bus route, you were talking about some of the other services that WAVE Transit has, some which are relatively new. Van pools, what is that?
So Vanpool is kind of a new transit, but we take a select group of employees, and we typically work with the employers. There are federal tax credits and tax breaks for employers to provide public transportation. It can work for employers because they can put in fewer parking spots. It really works for employers that are a little bit farther out, we found. The one in Elizabethtown has found a great quality of employees here in the Wilmington area that they may not find in a more rural area. So they're working with us. We have two vans that go down there every day. They typically have 9 to 12 people on them every day. 95% of that program is subsidized by either the employees. In that case, it's subsidized by the employer as a benefit for their employees. So we're working to build our van pool program so it has a little bit better impact on not only the region but on the quality of employees that employers can bring in.
So if people wanted to participate in that, they could just get in touch with WAVE Transit?
Absolutely.
And you also mentioned Park and Ride.
Park and Ride has been heavily studied and discussed in the current long-range transportation plan being undertaken by the Wilmington Metropolitan Planning Organization. We understand that there's a need for this, but this is also one of those choice riders versus transit-dependent type things that we're going to have to deal with. Is the population density, is the traffic congestion, is parking concerns in the employment areas significant enough that Park and Ride would be successful? If we can add a Park and Ride lot along an already a bus line that already exists, there's no additional cost unless we have to enter into some sort of financial agreement with an owner of some property that we would use for parking. So it could be a win-win if we could use the existing infrastructure to implement a Park and Ride. It's certainly something that we're looking at. But we want to make sure that if we implement it, that it's going to have a high chance for success.
Haven't there been some new services implemented in Brunswick County?
We do have a Park and Ride, and this was under the leadership of mostly the Leland Town Council. As they saw the causeway construction coming up, they said one opportunity is to use the Brunswick Connector, which is our fixed route bus that goes across the causeway. We put in some parking there in Leland, a couple, three satellite parking areas. The response has been we have some people that utilize it, so we could say it's been successful. The cost was didn't cost us anything. We worked with the developers and the property owners to give us some dedicated parking spots. The biggest disadvantage is without hot lanes or HOV lanes, you're sitting in traffic whether you're in your car or whether you're on a bus. You can maybe take a little of the stress out if you're not having to drive, but we don't offer a distinct advantage over a passenger car crossing the causeway. But it has been as successful as we had anticipated, and certainly I think the folks in Leland have been very happy with the results.
And is there any more discussion about bus service to Wrightsville Beach?
No, ma'am, not at this time.
That's a diplomatic answer. That's something that in the past has raised a little bit of controversy.
It service to the beach is a very highly requested service that we get asked about a lot. The way that North Carolina law is written, municipalities can restrict or allow access by public transportation providers over their streets or over the streets that go through their jurisdiction. When we approached it with Wrightsville Beach several years ago, it was something that they didn't have interest in. I think that we are willing to listen and ready to listen when their elected officials in the town does have interest.
And so when the public wants to get on the bus to go to the beach, which beaches can they go to?
On the Wilmington side, we go right up to the bridge to Wrightsville Beach. So if you have a bicycle, our buses have bicycle racks. If you're willing to walk a mile or more, you can get to Wrightsville Beach on our bus fairly conveniently. We do have service all the way to Pleasure Island, so we serve Carolina Beach. That's been a great partnership that's just evolved in the last year. But I think that speaks a lot to the economic development impact that Wave Transit has. In addition to the folks that we directly employ or our contractors directly employ, most of the folks that we take that are transit dependent, we're taking to work. So without Wave Transit, without the services we provide, there'd be a lot of employers here that couldn't get their employees to work, that couldn't provide the type of services they need, whether it be in the service industry or in the manufacturing industry, because they don't have access to employees, because their employees don't have access to transportation.
That's this edition of Coastline. I'd like to thank our guest, Albert Eby of Cape Fear Public Transportation Authority. Thanks also to you, our listeners, and those of you who emailed in your comments. Join us for Coastline every Wednesday at 12:06 here on HQR News 91.3 FM. Coastline is produced by Isabel Shepherd. Our technical director is Ken Campbell. Our webmaster is Melissa Stone. If you missed part of this show, we'll post it on our website, whqr.org, later today. You can also download the podcast from iTunes, and there you can find podcasts of earlier shows. Thanks again for listening. I'm Rachel Lewis Hilburn for Coastline.